You're listening to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Early this morning, three American detainees were freed from North Korea, arriving home in the U.S. President Trump greeted the men at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, telling the media that the release of the hostages shows that the U.S. has, quote, a very good chance of doing something very meaningful with North Korea. But what goes on behind the scenes? How does the U.S. deal with American citizens who are being held hostage abroad? Joining us now, former U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker. He certainly has some insight on this issue. Ambassador Crocker is an executive professor at Texas A&M University. Welcome to the Texas Standard.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Ambassador, except for when they're freed, I think we rarely hear about U.S. hostages abroad. Why is that? Is it U.S. policy to sort of keep it on the down low, if you will, or what?
Well, after long, hard experience with these things, I certainly have had some of my own. It's generally felt that the less focus on detainees or hostages, probably the better. That if we make a lot of noise about it, it just increases the value of the hostages in the eyes of the hostage holder. So in most cases, running silent is the best way to proceed if you're looking to get your folks back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As you think about where Americans are most imperiled, perhaps being taken hostage, are there countries in which Americans tend to get captured in? I mean, there were warnings about North Korea, for example, recently.
Exactly. Two places in the world I absolutely would not go to as an American citizen would be North Korea and Iran. It's interesting how both those countries approach this. Americans they arrest on some pretext are then given a show trial and sentenced to goodness knows how many years. But unlike the hostage situation in Lebanon that I was involved in, we know where those people are. The state has them, which is a far better outcome than, again, like the Lebanon hostages where some shadowy group has them.
Or are you dealing with a non-state actor like Syria, for example? But I was thinking about China, which is generally considered as a partner, at least, with the United States these days. But they have been known to, if not take hostages, arrest Americans on what to some appear to be trumped up charges.
Yeah, that's when you're making your travel plans, you want to have a look at to see if there is behavior of that sort. Chinese have done that periodically. Autocratic regimes with weak rule of law often get into these trumped up arrests. I'm at Princeton this year. We've got a grad student who's been jailed in Iran. He was over there doing research on the Qajar dynasty, which fell from power over 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So somebody please tell me what state secrets he was sifting through at the turn of the 19th century. You just don't know what they're going to do, why and for how long.
Well, how does the United States then develop a policy on winning their release? We know that, for instance, the U.S. doesn't pay ransom, but what is the strategy?
It's going to vary from case to case. One thing that I have seen in the last year or so that I think is an effective step is to be more engaged and involved in discussions with family members of the prisoners or hostages. It makes it a little bit more livable for them, and you can learn some interesting things by doing that and doing it quietly. There is no one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. You know, what worked in North Korea yesterday probably isn't going to work in Iran tomorrow, and it may not even work in North Korea tomorrow.
Former U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker now is executive professor at Texas A&M, and he is currently at Princeton University, taking a little bit of a break from College Station. Ambassador Crocker, thank you so much for speaking with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank you. Thank you for focusing on a sad, hard issue.
And you're listening to the Texas Standard.